Okay. Terrence, I apologize. You used to see his face, and he's like, what? There's I wear this every week, man. No, there is a reason. How many of you have ever seen the movie A Christmas Story? Red Ryder, BB Gun? Okay, do you remember the part about the pole, the frozen pole? So have some people not seen that movie? Raise your hand if you have not seen that. Shame on you. So anyway, the scene goes, a little character named Schwartz is talking to Flick, and he's saying, my old man says if you stick your tongue to a frozen pole, then it'll get stuck. And Flick's like, nah, it's a bunch of baloney. You're full of beans. And he says, well, I dare you to stick your tongue to the pole. And he goes, no, I'm not going to do something stupid like that. And he says, I double dog dare you. And the narrator goes, well, now it's getting serious. It's getting serious. And then he says, the only thing that's left is the triple dare you and then the triple dog dare you. And so Flick goes, I triple dog dare you. And the narrator says, well, there's a little breach of etiquette there because he skipped right over the triple dare you and went straight for the throat. So the other night, Friday night, we had a women's event. And I sang a song, and I've heard that it has now become all of the ladies' favorite Christmas carol of all time. Anyway, after the show, I had someone come up to me, and I won't say their name. And so Jessie says to me, she says, I dare you to wear that shirt on Sunday. And I says, I'm not speaking. I'm not wearing this shirt. And she goes, I triple dog dare you. So like any self-respecting 54-year-old man would do, I had to defend my honor. So here you go. All right, today we have a special guest with us. He was here with Teen Challenge. And I had a lot of people come up and say, you need to bring him back and have him speak. And so you know what I did? I contacted him. I said, you know, and so back by popular demand, him and his family, and boy, you guys have your hands full. Oh, my goodness. They walked in. It was like a duck family. But please give a warm welcome to Terrence Nelson.
Thank you, brother. You are my best friend. I love you. You are so awesome. Not more than my wife, but I love you. You're awesome. Man, to bring the excitement and the energy and the encouragement. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Terrence Nelson. My day job is I'm a community outreach coordinator at Adult and Teen Challenge. And if you were here in August, you heard us talk more about Adult and Teen Challenge. If you were not here, I encourage you to jump online to your church's website and listen to the sermon off of August 16th or 18th, one of those. I looked at it today. But listen to that service. That would be awesome. Today, I get to present to you as myself, as my family, as a man of God, and as a spoken word poet. So it brings me great honor to do that. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for New Hope Christian Center, God, and every person that's in here. Thank you for the pastor and his wife, God. And Lord, I just ask, God, for blessing on this congregation, God. I pray, God, that hope would be restored to those who have lost hope, God. I pray, God, for those that have been praying for loved ones, God, that you would answer miracles, God. For businesses, Lord God, I pray for increase, God. And I just thank you, Lord, that you brought people like New Hope Christian Center to love Spokane Valley. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you that saw me walking in with my family, this is my lovely wife, Maggie. Everybody say hi, Maggie. We have four kids. My oldest daughter is Isabella. We call her Bella. She's 10. I have Kaya Lee, the one that was like, oh, my hair. I can't believe I'm laying on the floor. That's our animated one, Sweet and Spicy. She's 4 years old. Then I have Jace. He's 2 years old. And then we have Isaiah, the cute one. He's 1. It's funny how when you have 2 kids, everybody's like, oh, so cute. And then when you have 4 kids, oh, you're so busy. So I think we're good at 4. No. A little bit of my history is I come from Anchorage, Alaska. I came to Spokane, Washington for hope. I came to Spokane, Washington for change. I came to Spokane, Washington for a difference. And in January 16, 2010, I came to Spokane, Washington to Adult and Teen Challenge. I'm now 9 years clean and sober. I have a wife and four kids that you see today, and it's all glory to God. Not only that, I got my purpose. I found my purpose. Have you ever walked through life and not understood what your purpose was, not what your call was? You're just aimlessly walking around, not sure what to do, where to go. Well, that was me until today. I call it my why. Why with an exclamation point is to bring hope to the hopeless. And there's several different ways that I do that. If you've been around Spokane Valley or North Spokane or down on Division and Second, me and my group that I started 2 years ago called Great Community, we stand out on the street corner every Saturday with a sign that says, "You matter," just to impact our community. Any of you guys ever seen those signs? Any of you guys ever seen those? Yeah, that's us. That's Great Community. And that's just putting our why into action. Another way that I get to do that is through the power and the presentation of spoken word poetry. And today, I present to you a message entitled, "I Am." We're going to be in the book of Exodus chapter 3. We all have a story. Some of us forget that. Some of us forget our story. Some of us forget where we come from. And then there are others of us who are ashamed of our story and even will run as far as we can from it. Like a man that we're going to talk about today, like Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. I come from a not-so-perfect family made up of not-so-perfect choices, which led me to a not-so-perfect drug addiction lifestyle. The shame and the guilt of my sin and lifestyle caused me to feel like I was unworthy to come to God. I stopped going to church, I stopped reading my Bible, and I had abandoned my prayer closet. I know what it's like to hear the voice of the Lord and feel that because of my past, I cannot respond. Just like Moses, feeling afraid to look upon God because the weight of my sin and shame is too great. If that's you today, I want you to know, no matter how you stack your sin and shame and excuses, it is no match for the cross. When you lay all the sin, all the shame, all the excuses at the cross and give it to Jesus, it is no longer your shame. It is no longer your sin. It becomes the sin and shame that he bore on the cross for you. Verse 7. Then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is the land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites," say that 10 times fast, "now live." In 2010, when I recommitted my life to Christ, it was an exhilarating experience. It was so great to be back in the family of Christ. But several months later, after rediscovering my prayer closet, I began to struggle with this feeling of wondering if God saw me, if he heard me, or if he knew me. I've laid my head in such a pit of insolence. It seems as if the world has raptured my innocence. Without my name at mercy's seat, my existence is imminent. I've gone so far forward, now I've been shoved back to my remembrance of the day that I lost you. Gold coins jingling as they hit the ground. I search everywhere with no lamp to be found. I see no ram in the thicket. I hear no baa-baa black sheep, not even a sound. The wind that I feel is no longer you, but the frigid air of loneliness covered with a layer of dew. These walls are sealed up so tight that not even a ray of sunlight can enter the room. I've hit my knees repeatedly in disparity when really it was just a parody. I lost sense of sincerity and turned into a weird-out antic and used it sparingly. This place no longer resembles the deep of Jacob's well, but more like the dust on my top shelf. My tear ducts have been dammed up by hell's aqueducts. From stints of affection to floods of deception, these walls haven't seen a drop of his protection. Under his wings, somehow I feel like they've been clipped. I'm supposed to be a destiny's child, so I gotta be eagle. But it feels like the winter months have sent me south like I gotta be seagull. I've anticipated your voice for so long, I've diagnosed myself with RLS, restless love syndrome. Not only that, I've contracted an STD, spiritually transmitted disease, and it's called lust. I can't even sleep peacefully due to the remembrance of the nights my soul ran wild with torment, evil, and destruction. I even have flashbacks when I was a demon on the prowl, teamed up with seduction. I cry out to your name, but it feels like your presence has had a price reduction. I think I now know how Jesus felt day one and two in the tomb. Feels like 36 weeks with no heartbeat in the womb. Cold, still, desolate, darkness pressing in. Feels like my mind, heart, and soul no longer takes precedence. I came to this room seeking you because I thought you'd be here. But why can't I feel you? Why can't I hear you? Why can't I see you? So many questions and assumptions running through my head. I actually took the time to consider. Could our relationship be dead? All this time I felt abandoned. I should have blamed me instead. I knew that this draft had felt all too familiar. Having a back door open wasn't my first pick. Probably wasn't my second either. Not only was it there, but I left it open. And now my secret place truly isn't secret. My hiding place now holds all my fears inside. And a man's best friend has become lust and compromise. All this time I was blaming you when it was really I. I came into our hiding place and shook the dust off my feet onto the welcome mat. I prevented the shadow of your wings to cover me by hiding in the shadows of my iniquity. I allowed the mirror of self-reflection to take the place and space of your loving grace. It was I, and only I, that grieved you from this room. And now I'm on my knees begging you to relieve me from this tomb. And as I'm weeping uncontrollably, I hear this reply. Son, you've rented out our space so there's no room for me to reside. As I left traces of my residue, you missed it because evil took its place on my pedestal. But now, your mission and confession to my ears sounds like falsetto tune. There's nothing more harmonic than the sound of a back door shutting. My mercy is the padlock and you've received grace the key. There's no strings attached as you enter my intimacy. Can't no one copyright nor trademark my key. I told you once before that my grace is sufficient for thee. There's no need to worry nor fret or shed a tear. When I step into rooms, all darkness must disappear. Do you not know that I will again have compassion on you? I will tread your iniquities under my feet. Yes, I will cast your sins into the depths of the sea. You ask, where am I? I say, wrong question. You should be asking, who am I? My sons and daughters, allow me to reintroduce myself. I am the Prince of Peace as you lie weeping between porch and altar. I'm the acquittal when the accuser has a case. I'm the factor in your body known as Lamnin. I hold all things together. I'm the fervor in your drive that quickens you to pick up the pace. I'm the antidote to your STD, a.k.a. sent to deliver. There'll never be another one like me. I tell you, do the right thing, but no, I'm not Spike Lee. I'm the groom, you're the bride, might as well call you wifey. My Holy Spirit in you, now that's a tight ring. When I came and died on the cross, I destroyed all options of divorcing me. You may run and hide, but with arms wide open is my salvation's creed. I don't know if you heard, but your God's not dead. I make the news, boy. Don't be surprised if you see the front page say, I make the sea talk. Allow me to preach about myself for a minute, because I am the gospel. I called the prodigal home to speak the gospel. Get it? G-O-S-P-E-L. My name will keep a dope boy out of hell, keep women from playing show and tell, and even lead a pastor's son back home that chose to rebel. Forget hell's bells. I'm heaven's song. Call me Genesis to Revelations because I am the word. I could go on forever about me because I am eternity. But I'll leave you with these last words I said in Corinthians. If you are in me, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Today, he says, I am. I am here. And like he said to Moses in verse 7, he says, I see you, I hear you, and I know you. Just like me in that abandon, I felt abandoned in that prayer closet. But what it was is I just had to tune my ears back to his heart. You may be like that today, feel like, man, God's not in my situation. I'm here today to tell you that he is the great I am, and he sees you. He hears you. He knows you. But God, I've been praying for this for 10 years. I'm a victim of a praying wife and a praying mother. And they kept praying for me, and it came to pass. No matter what you've been praying for, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. I'm telling you what, he is the great I am. God hears your struggle. God sees your struggle. He sees your pain. He sees your faithfulness. God hears your prayers. He hears your silent prayers. He hears your sighs and your broken hallelujahs. God knows you by name. He knows your heart, and he knows your story. He's the great I am. Verse 9. Look. Hold on. God's speaking here. Look! The cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God. We'll stop right there. God chooses Moses to set his people free. Today, God chooses us to set those who are in bondage, dead to sin, and hopeless free. Today, he is sending you to the mission field, to your schools, to your family, to your streets of your cities, to your neighbors, to your favorite coffee place that you go every Tuesday at 6:30 to make sure you're not late, but you're always show up at work at 7:10. He's sending you to that place too. Yep. To reach those who are in need of freedom. Verse 11. But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign, that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." Just like Moses, just like us, when God asks us to do something, we got a reason why we can't. We got these excuses. God, I'm not qualified. God, I don't speak their language. God, I've never experienced addiction. God, I don't know how to help a woman that's been struggling with prostitution. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God, I don't know if I'm the right fit to work with youth. We have all these different excuses and all these different things, but have you ever felt like that God was telling you to do something that was too big for you? Maybe the business he's leading you to start, the political office he's encouraged you to run for, the forgiveness he's asking you to give someone who has hurt you, the restoring of a family member that no one wants around anymore, the woman that you're dragging your feet to ask to marry you. God calls us, and it is our job to turn aside and respond. If you had 24 hours left to live, what would you do? If you had 24 hours left to live, where would you go? If you had 24 hours left to live, would you want to know? You see, the average person takes 23,040 breaths alone. Would you take the time to count each one or wait until your last and not let it go as if you had halitosis and didn't want anyone to know? Unfortunately, that's how a lot of us act. We're so tongue-tied that we're spiritually suffocating inside. But why? Why are you suffocating inside when he's giving you the breath of life? You see, there's no need to worry because he's the master of time. He holds the hands better than any watch has been designed. He's no Rolex, Citizen, Omega, or Pilot, but he's my Alpha and Omega. He's my autopilot. If I had 24 hours left to live, I wouldn't make it a drama like Kiefer Sutherland. I'd dedicate to bringing life to the lost and suffering. You see, I'd speak faster, breathe harder, beat stronger just to get my speech farther. Lead longer just to bring his heat hotter, tell you that you're not a goner, don't waste your breath. Why not bother? It's time to stop sitting on teeter-totters, read a Bible, trust in him, he's the potter. No more warm fuzzies, compromises, or Harry Potters. I got a message to send to all his sons and daughters. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? Open up your mouth and breathe through your lungs. Let the good news flow through you from heaven above. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And if that's the truth, why are you only telling Christ to some? You plus him, you add up the sum. You subtract by no voice, the difference is one. James 4:14 says, your life is but a vapor today. You're here, tomorrow you can be gone. 3 times 8, 6 times 4, 12 times 2, 24 by 1. Doesn't matter how many times you multiply it. Unless the breath of God is in it, it still multiplies to none. So with these last few seconds I have on this stage, I remind you that you're on borrowed time. And tomorrow's not promised today. So would you take the time to tell someone who's standing in line to wait for your light to shine that God loves them so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for them, and that they would choose to believe in him, that they will have everlasting life. You see, it's because of him that we are CPR'd back to life. Christ provides resurrection. It's our job to go out into these streets, go out to our neighbors, go to our postal office, to the person who's been delivering mail to our house for 20 years, and share the love of Jesus. It's our job to notice those who are struggling. Look, Moses wasn't qualified. Moses was a murderer. But the great I Am took his story and made it something grandeur. Your story's not over. Maybe you've just been dormant, sitting, idle, waiting for the return of Jesus. Well, we're supposed to be working the harvest fields while we're waiting on our Lord and Savior to come back. I hope to spark something in somebody today that no matter what your dream was when you were younger or when that you had last year or you thought was too big, he is the great I am. So dreams awaken, futures come alive, passions come alive. May we use these things to reach those who are lost. Verse 13. Here's Moses with another excuse. He excuses, but I can't do this. Don't worry, I'll be with you. But who should I say sent me? This is what God says. Verse 13, but Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God can take the story of a man who was a murderer and use him to set his people free. God can take the story of a hopeless meth addict like me and turn me into a loving husband and a father. God can take the story of your relationship that was fueled by infidelity and restore it into a marriage of covenant. God can take your story of stage 4 lymphoma cancer and turn it into a rest of your life remission story. He is the I am. Whatever you need, he says, I am. You fill in the blank. I am is my favorite name for God because it's like, whatever you need, I'm it. I'm broken, God, and have a broken heart, and I have an empty spirit. I am your fulfillment. I am your healing. I am your provider. Whatever you need, I am. God, I need this business deal to go through. I am. God, I need a relationship that's healthy. I am. God, I need my son to come back to you. I am. God, I need a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house because I'm so sick and tired of living in an apartment. I am. I'm signing tomorrow because he's the I am. I don't know what your story is, but when you bring the I am into your story, game changer. I'm telling you, we can get excited about that. Where's my best friend at? There we go. You can get excited about that. You should wake up every morning knowing that no matter what my day holds for me, he is the great I am. No matter what's going to come my way, he is the great I am. And then you get to be like one of those people at your work or around your friends that is always happy. Man, why are you so happy? You annoy me. Fine, I'm okay with that. Because you know what? He's the great I am. You just lost your job. He's the great I am. This just happened. You just lost your son. He's the great I am. No matter what happens, he is the great I am. He even wrote 66 books just to show us that he's the great I am. For you have been the breath to my life. You are my Genesis. Separated at birth and sold into slavery, you are my Exodus. You guide me, set my boundaries, and surround me. I see you as Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I've come into the promised land with an inheritance of Joshua. You bring law and order as I enter your courts. You are my judges. You redeem the land of your people from the old to the baby Ruth. Through giants, captivity, and long genealogies, you raised up Samuel's kings in every 1st and 2nd Chronicle being. You brought your people back to their land under the leadership of a king, Ezra. You hold world records for city walls being rebuilt in your hands, Nehemiah. You showed favor to an outcast in the presence of a king, Esther. Through pain and suffering, you remain faithful forever. You carry my Job. You sing and speak to me through Psalms and Proverbs. Should I stay or should I go? You appoint the times, Ecclesiastes. You lyric romance and anatomy and called it intimacy. You are the song of all songs. You prophesied of yourself through a man in Isaiah. Broke our hearts for man, now I'm weeping, Jeremiah. Coming back to your heart, lamenting lamentations. You ministered to the exile, even in captivity, Ezekiel. You are the God of the fire. You are the God of the lion. I envision you in Daniel. You seek out the harlot in my back page and forgive my gomers, Hosea. I call out to your name and I am delivered, Joel. You rebuke the heart of the religious in Amos. I'm humble before you in Obadiah. I've discovered that the deadliest catch is to run from the direction you have called me, Jonah. You are the New Testament and the Old Testament of the coming king, Micah. You mirror your reflection of majesty and judge in Nahum. Even when things don't make sense, you clarify my hind speed in high places in a name like Habakkuk. You are a warrior dancing over me in Zephaniah. You are extreme makeover, flip or flop for your house driver. Move that bus in Haggai. Although our nation's on another call, you still make the call for repentance in Zechariah. You are healing and generational reconciliation in the book of Malachi. You are more than just my daddy. I call you Adonai. You are first and you are last. Just listen to my battle cry. Jesus! Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Good news. You came, you saw, you conquered. Consume my spirit in Acts. Transform my mind in Romans. Ascribe to the body in Corinthians. Rooted and fruited in Galatians. Suited and booted in Ephesians. Humble and content in Philippians. You are high and exalted in Colossians. You professed your teachings of truth and grace in Thessalonians. You instructed and trained your soldiers in Timothy. You are ordering your church in Titus. You intercede and stand in the gap. You are my Philemon. You are superior and reign over all things in Hebrews. You make this practice practical to draw near in James. You are a faithful reminder in Peter. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you beloved me the same. In Jude, you are in my corner. In the book of Revelations, your return is revealed. All powerful and coming King, you are this book. You are this life. You are our groom, and we are your bride. There is none before, and there will never be none after. Your word, irrevocable. Your love, irreplaceable. Your power, unmatchable. Your name, immovable. You are the locksmith to death, hell, and the grave. You are eternity. There's no coming back except for your return in the final act. Your word is a word, in two words you could have said it all. I am that I am, and whose I will call. If you feel lost and ashamed, go ahead right now, call on his name, Jesus. If you need to be healed from pain, go ahead right now, call on his name, Jesus. If you need strength to stand in the rain, call on his name, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Choose this as life. Don't deny the truth. Demons obey him. Death gave up on him. You could be born again. We'll just call this Bethlehem. Choose this as life. Don't deny the truth. Demons obey him. Death gave up on him. You could be born again. We'll just call this Bethlehem. Confess with your mouth that he is Lord. Believe in your heart that he lives again. No longer wretch nor sinner, now saint. Welcome to the family. He calls you a friend. Live by his word. It's a gift unto you. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Let's give God a praise. Would you stand with me today? Would you stand with me today? If you're able to, go ahead and stand with me. There are some of us in here today that may not know Jesus. You may not understand that God is the great I am in your life. And all your life, you've been stacking up your pain. You've been stacking up your past. You've been stacking up your hindrances up against God. Yeah, we put on a great picture for everyone to see, but deep down inside, I'm struggling. I'm not sure if he is the great I am. Because right now, my situation, he doesn't seem like the I am. If that's you today, and you say, man, I want to give great I am my life today. I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. We're not going to wait for music. We're not going to close our eyes, bow our heads. Because look, if you won't be real about it in here, you won't be real about it out there. So if that's you today, and you say, I'm in desperate need of my Lord and Savior to save me today, raise your hand right now. Amen. 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 Go ahead, put your hands down. Maybe you're here today, you're like, man, I've been faithfully following the Lord, but you were like me. I come back to my prayer closet and it feels like empty. It feels like I'm just talking to a wall. I miss the intimacy. I miss the relationship that I used to have with him. If that's you today and you're saying, God, interrupt my life. I need you more than ever right now. Come and show me you're real. Come and interrupt my situation right now. If that's you, raise your hand right now. All over this place, if that's you. Awesome. Can we pray together, everybody in one accord? Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm coming home. Take my sin, take my shame, take my guilt, take it all. I want to be free. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again. I make you king of my life, king of my heart. God be my Father. Holy Spirit be my guide. God, show up for me today. I'm in need of you. Be my I am. God, this is how I need you today. And tell him right now how you need him.
I need you as a healer, God, as a provider, God. He's going to show up. God, I just pray for each and every person in this place today, God, that they would have a tangible encounter with you today, God. Lord, I pray for businesses, God, that are about to go under, God. I pray for those, Lord God, that feel like they're not going to graduate on time. God, I pray for those, Lord God, that have loved ones that are incarcerated, Lord Jesus. Restore hope to those that have loved ones, God. For those that need healing in this place, God, I pray that there's testimony coming back to Pastor and his wife this week that they were healed after this service because you are the great I am, God. No matter what they struggle with, God, no matter, Lord God, what the hidden secrets are, God, heal them, set them free today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I present you, go ahead, have a seat. Let's give God a round of applause for those that gave their lives to Jesus today. That's so awesome. This is why I do this. I do this to bring hope to the hopeless. I wake up in the morning, how can I bring hope to my wife? How can I bring hope to my kids? How can I bring hope to my job? How can I bring hope to my city? God, how do you want to use me today? And so this is what we do. My presenting name is Forgiven I Am. That is how I present. I don't perform because we don't perform the gospel. We present the gospel. Out in the foyer by the information table, I have a sign up. I'll be releasing an EP in January of all the poems that I did today. If you're interested in that, write your name and email address, and I will make sure you get one. It is an evangelistic tool. I'm not charging for it. We do accept donations, but that's for another time. But today, if you're interested at New Hope Christian Center for getting this EP to lead some other people to Jesus, man, write your name down. I want to make sure that you get one when it launches in January. Thank you so much for welcoming my family here. You guys have been outstanding and amazing, and we love you, New Hope Christian Center. God is the great I am. Now go home and believe it. Amen.
Before we sing our last song, we are going to take up a love offering for Terrence and his family. If you've seen his family and you heard how many he's got, he could probably use a little bit of help during the holiday season. So, but we also want to bless him and his family for doing what God has called him to do, his purpose. And he's being used by God to do God's work according to his purposes and according to his plans. Amen. So if you have envelopes in front of you, go ahead and use those. Some of the chairs did not get them. If you need an envelope, please let the ushers know, and they'll pass those out. And then we're going to go ahead and have the music ministry team share a song with us. And then, Terrence, I'd like you to come up afterwards to close us, because I found oftentimes after I'm done delivering the message I know God's given me, during the praise, he'll drop something else in. So I'm just going to trust God to do that and the Holy Spirit in you. So thank you, everybody. Go ahead, Ange.
So, wow, Pastor, you called it. Sitting here just in worship, and the Lord just spoke to me about being in a race. There's some of us that it's like our life is always in the starting blocks. I never got the jump. I never got the start. And fear has held me in the starting blocks because I feel like I can't win the race. I feel like I can't go forward. I feel like I'll never be in first place. But God comes today to tell you that I didn't tell you to be in first place. I told you to run. See, sometimes we get this fear and all this other reasons of why I probably shouldn't even leave my safe zone, my comfort zone, to do what God has called me to do. But what God has called you to do is to run. But Terrence, you don't understand. We've been trying to have a baby for so long, but every time we have a miscarriage, keep trying. Keep running. He is faithful. Terrence, you don't understand. This job is a dead-end job, and I've been looking for something else. My passion's not there. He told you to run. Keep going. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. But Terrence, the ministry's not growing like I thought it would. People aren't coming. It's not about the people. It's about you saying yes to him. If that's you today, I think we have a few minutes. Just raise your hand. If that's you today. You say, man, I just don't want to run anymore. I feel like giving up, man. I feel like I just can't do this. If that's you, just put your hand up so I can see you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, we just pray for those, God, right now, Lord, that feel like quitting, that feel like giving up, that feel like, God, I can't even do this. Like, I can't even get started, let alone give up. I can't even start, God. Lord, I just pray right now, God, that you would give them the faith and the courage to move, God. Your word says that if the faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain, God. So, God, I pray that you would drop faith into their spirit right now, God.
Lord, that when they go back to their job, God, that when they go back to their family, Lord God, that they would have a different outlook on it, God. Not as finishing, but as every day doing what my King and my Savior has asked me to do. Doing what my Father has asked me to do, God. I pray, God, that you will restore hope to these hearts today, Jesus. For those that are in here, God, that maybe didn't raise their hand, God, I just pray, God, that you restore hope to them, God. Restoring to them the joy of the Lord, God. Making them come back to their first love when they first fell in love with you, Jesus. Bring back remembrance, God, of how faithful you were when they were younger. Bring back, God, what you did before, because you are the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. God, I just pray right now, Lord God, for anybody here, God, that is feeling like giving up on you, that is on the brink of walking away from you, God. I pray, God, that you would speak to them in only a way that you can today, God. Lord, that you would let them know, God, that you are faithful, that you are real, and you do speak to them, Lord God. Bring clarity, Lord God. I ask, God, that you would cancel the assignment of distraction set upon them by the enemy in Jesus' name, God. I pray for clear ears to hear what the Word of God is telling them, whether they're supposed to move, whether they're supposed to leave this or go there, God. I pray for clarity, God, and confirmation in Jesus' name, God. For those, Lord God, that have been empty, God, and barren, God, I pray, God, for joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost upon people today, God. Lord, for the holiday season where it may not be a good time for some, God, I pray, God, that they would turn their focus on baby Jesus who came, the hope of our glory, the hope of glory, the hope of our world, the hope of future generations, God. Lord, and in this time, God, I pray for New Hope Christian Center, God, for the goals, the dreams, the plans, the vision you have for this church, God. Lord, I ask, God, that you would bring the harvest into this church, God. There are so many people just in Spokane Valley off of Argonne alone in these neighborhoods that are dying without the hope of Jesus Christ, God. I pray, Lord God, for revival to break through this place, God, in each person in here today, God. Lord, may we be agents that carry your spirit with us, that we carry your heart with us, God, that we carry your word with us, God. And Lord, as we depart from here today, God, may we even begin to change the world and impact them through showing them Jesus from the moment we leave this place, whether we're getting gas or going to eat or just going home and calling a loved one and telling them I love you. Whatever it may be, God, we give you the glory and the praise, and we say, thank you for being the great I am. In Jesus' name, amen.